Over the years on the podcast, we've talked occasionally about our investments, where we've invested and why. And they've always been ridiculously popular episodes. It's understandable, right? You want to follow the rules and lessons that we've deployed ourselves when it comes to investment. Well, we're going one better this week. In fact, we're going several better, because we're going to take you through all the investments we've made in the last 6 months.
Hello and welcome to the Property Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is the show where we take the knowledge that we've gained from advising a multi-million pound property fund, which you can find out more about at portfolio.co.uk, as well as all the hundreds of transactions we've done over the years, and bring that to you for free. We always pack as much great stuff into these episodes as we can. So make sure you are following the show on your favorite podcasting app so you don't miss an episode. On Apple Podcasts, you just hit the little plus button and you can follow it on Spotify as well. Last week, we went into detail on the 18-year property cycle, and it's probably one of our most popular episodes ever already. So much feedback off the back of that. And we know that another popular topic is when we talk about what we are actually doing. So you know what we believe is coming up for the cycle. And in this week's episode, you're going to find out what we've been investing in recently with that in mind. So make sure you stick around for that. And today is an exciting day for us. You'll find out why after the news.
Yes, it's time for our news story of the week, and this week's story comes from the FT, and its headline, and that's kind of the job of the headline, I guess, grabbed our attention with London house prices rise at fastest rate since 2016. And it says that the property market bounces back as people return to the city for work and entertainment. And judging by the trends I've been on going into London, there definitely does seem to be more people going back to work in the city. And it's no surprise that London is bouncing back, because let's face it, the rest of the country is more than bounced back and has been pushing on for some time now. But it's coming up to what you could say is a respectable rate compared to everywhere else. So the FT has used data from Nationwide, and house prices in London are up currently 7.4%, and that's up from 4.8% at the same period last year. And that's the fastest rate since 2016. So it is interesting to see. Rob, this is definitely something that we want to follow, because we've kind of mentioned, for at least a hardcore or observant podcast listener, we've kind of mentioned London a few times over the last 6 months as a place that we've got one eye on. I'm far from investing there right now, but certainly got an eye on. And this is probably the most positive news story around house prices, at least, for London that we've seen for a while. I think it's worth saying, though, that at 7.4%, Nationwide has the rest of the UK at 12.6%. So it's still quite a bit behind, but nevertheless, it's still positive because it's a big jump from where it was.
Yes, this is kind of what we'd expect to happen, I think. In the first part of the cycle, London raced so far ahead that the gap that opened up between London and the rest of the country was too big. And so it's natural that that should come back together in the second part, which is exactly what's happening, because the rest of the country is growing faster than London. But we also expected London to perform strongly, because we didn't buy into the whole thing of, oh, London's overcrowded, no one actually wants to live there after all. It's all because people only lived there in the first place because they had to go into the office there, and now they don't anymore. Clearly, that hasn't turned out to be the case. But one of the challenges in London is that it's been really hard to make anything stack up, because it has been so expensive and rents just haven't been able to keep up. Rents in London are now growing really strongly. We've talked about it in the past. I can't remember the figures off the top of my head, but we know that London rents are performing very strongly. I see this all around me living in London and keeping an eye on these things. So if rents are growing really fast and house prices are performing healthily but not as fast, then that improves yields in London and actually starts making larger parts of London investable again. So like you said, Rob, would we be piling into London now? No. But as we start thinking about the end of the cycle, as we talked about last week, prime London assets are probably pretty good ones to be holding if you are looking at holding through the crash and coming out the other side again. So certainly something to keep an eye on.
So I can't believe it's taken us this long to talk about it, because it's an incredibly exciting day for us. It's crowdfunding day. Well, at least for you, because we don't go proper public yet, but today is your day. Today is the first day that podcast listeners who've pre-registered can invest with us. And when I say invest, that's investing in our business for an equity stake. Obviously, not property investment. This is investing in Portfolio and Property Hub. So it's really exciting, Rob. And obviously, we've recorded this before the launch day. So right now, as people listen to this, who knows what the number is at, where we are against our target. It's going to be a day that I don't think we get much else done besides, you know, answering people's questions and looking at that bar going up towards its target.
Yeah, it's not going to be a super productive day in terms of anything else in the office, but that's okay. It's so exciting. And it's so great after all these years to be having the opportunity to do this with the people who really believe in what we're doing. So like Rob said, today is the day that you can get involved in crowdfunding if you pre-registered. We've been saying for the last 2 weeks that you should go and pre-register. This is why. Because if you have, then today you'll be receiving an email with a private link that will allow you to go and read all the information about the campaign and make a decision about if it's right for you. And of course, we need to mention that when you're making an investment like this, your capital is at risk. But you'll be able to see everything, make that decision, and you'll also see that there are some little perks that we've thrown in. So as if owning a little bit of Property Hub and Portfolio isn't enough, there are some little bonuses for contributing certain amounts as well. So do check those out when you're in the page as well.
Now remember, this is your window. On Wednesday the 4th, we go to the big wide world and we say, hey everyone, we're launching, we're crowdfunding, come and join us. But you've got that window. You've got until then to invest. So take it, because we do have a limit on how much we'll raise. We will stop it. We don't want to sell the whole business. So we might get close to that number or even hit it before Wednesday. But once we go on Wednesday, well, then the chances of us hitting it absolutely increase, because it's not just the podcast audience who get to hear about it. It's everyone. Everyone on the Seeders platform will then increase our campaigns further. So between Seeders and us telling the world about what's happening, the number may go up even faster at that point. So take advantage of your window. If you haven't pre-registered, you can actually still do that now. Go to propertyhub.net/crowdfund. That's propertyhub.net/crowdfund. And you can pre-register and still get in before Wednesday. So if you're kind of panicking, going, oh no, I've procrastinated, don't worry, do it now. But you only have till Wednesday. So take advantage of this huge perk. And then if you invest, you get some of those other perks that Rob mentioned as well. But most importantly, you get to invest in the future of what we're building here, which if you listen to the episode a couple of weeks back, you'll know is an exciting future. At least that's what we feel, and hopefully you do too. But judging by the amount of people that have pre-registered, it's an absolute compliment, just that much interest. And it seems that a lot of you are excited about what we're trying to build here as well. So let's do it together. So if you want to find out more, look for that link in your email box now, or go to the pre-register website and get signed up as quickly as possible to get the information that you need. And then to those who do invest, congratulations. We look forward to building a very exciting future with you.
Okay, let's get on with our main topic this episode, where we're going to be talking about where we've invested so far this year and where we're looking at next. Rob, this is what everyone wants to know. We get comments about this all the time on social media. Whenever we do a webinar, people ask us this in the Q&A. We talk about it a lot on the show, but where are we actually going and making investments ourselves across our personal investments and the investments that we make for our businesses? So, Rob, we thought it was time to actually give that question an answer.
Yeah, let's do it. All of these deals that we're going to be talking about have been done mostly this year, but all within the last 6 months. And we're going to run through what we've invested in and why we've invested in it. And these deals will either be through Property Hub Invest or through Portfolio. And it doesn't really matter which is which, because actually, as you're going to hear, we focus on these areas for both because we believe they make great investment areas. So let's do it. Let's reveal exactly what we've been investing in. Because normally you don't get to hear this. If you go to propertyhub.net/invest and have a look at what we've invested in or what opportunities are potentially available, there's nothing there. It's all done off market. So in 8 years of podcasting, we've never revealed the details. And it's not because we're being secretive, but actually we have to protect the partners we work with because they don't often want their deals public. But what we're going to do today is give you enough detail that you can take the lessons, but not that will hurt our relationships with these people. The first deal we're going to cover is a prime development in Manchester. And this was a really exciting deal for us and for our investors because where it is within Manchester is an absolutely fantastic location. But it's right at the beginning of one of the largest ever regeneration projects in the whole of the north of England. It's absolutely huge. And this is one of the landmark developments at the beginning of that. It's really, really important for this developer. The size of this regeneration project means it's going to be delivered over many, many years. And this particular development was 2 years off plan for our investors. So why did we and our investors like it so much? Well, there was a discount. I think it's worth saying that because we got in early, there was a discount available. And that's something that you can try and deploy as well as an investor yourself. When you are getting in at the very beginning of a site or at the very end of a site, there is an opportunity, because that's often when we'll do a deal as well, because developers are either looking to get sales away early on to give them confidence or their lenders confidence, or at the end of the site, they just want to get off and wrap things up and take the marketing suite off and move on, and it's costing them to stay there. And often the final bits of their profit are tied up in those units as well, and they want to get their hands on the cash. So there's an opportunity for you there as well. So we took advantage of that and we got ourselves a discount. But why this development in Manchester? Because there's lots of them. And something we've talked about on a podcast previously is how we're attracted to high specification, stuff that's special, stuff that stands out. It's not just another average apartment. It's something that stands out now and will do in the future. And this particular investment absolutely has that. It's got really nice back, the kitchen's gorgeous, bathrooms are lovely, fantastic amenity, so concierge, gym, and so much more, and the developer themselves are really reputable. The prices we paid were dependent on whether there were one bed or two bed, but they range from just over 200,000 to just shy of 350,000, and our investors went in and it sold very, very quickly, all gone in one evening. So that was the first deal we did. So that's Manchester, prime Manchester. And hopefully you understand why we're so attracted to Manchester. We've talked about it enough. It's an incredible city, an incredible success story. But then taking that one level further, we went for the strong specification and the wonderful amenities, so it stands out as a development. Taking it further again, it was part of a massive regen project. And taking it further again, we got ourselves a great deal. So it's no surprise that we did that deal in Manchester. But Rob, as much as we talk about Manchester, we've been all over the country.
Yes, another big deal that we did was in Derby. Now, Derby is a location that we first mentioned in our hotspots for 2021. So I'd already been investing in Nottingham for a long time, but didn't really know that much about Derby, despite it being next door. But then once we got switched on to Derby, we put it in our hotspots, and then we started actively looking for investment opportunities there. Now, why Derby in the first place? We've talked about this on the podcast before. There's lots of reasons, like its connectivity, its strong local employers like Rolls-Royce, and importantly, the fact that the price points are low and average wages are actually very high, which means affordability is strong, which is important because that provides a driver for capital growth. Doesn't mean it's guaranteed to happen, of course, but the conditions are in place. So that's what attracted us to Derby. And then, much like Rob was just talking about with Manchester, we then wanted to go and get the best we could find. We wanted something of real quality because quality rental stock in Derby is very low. And we also wanted one of the best locations because, again, that's the thesis for where the capital growth comes. It always starts at the best properties in the best locations first. And when you look for that, often the compromise you make is on the yield. But the investment that we made actually had very strong yields as well. And that's another sign that there's some potential capital growth upside there. If you find something that's in a great location, that's high standard, and it's yielding stronger than you'd expect, that's another sign that there could be capital growth to come. So no surprises there. Manchester and Derby kind of following the investment thesis that we've talked about on this pod for a long time. But Rob, there's a bit of a surprise up next. Ipswich.
Yeah, Ipswich is a new one for us. But we've talked about looking at different areas that aren't getting as much attention. And if you've listened to the podcast for many years now, you'll know that we like to go against the crowd. We like to go to areas where people aren't excited about yet. And like you've heard of the previous two deals, we've looked for something different here as well. And this particular deal in Ipswich was right on a waterfront. It's a marina location. Marinas are generally quite lovely, most marinas anyway, and this one is very nice as well. And the price point for these apartments, one beds, were just over 200k. So it may surprise you that when you hear about marina front apartments, that sort of price point, that you can get from Ipswich to London in about an hour. That, to me, screams value. And when you get value, you'll get our interest, because we think at that sort of price point, and I might add, we got a very good deal on this as well, that it makes it very attractive.
Again, like you've heard before, we've gone for development that's a bit unique. It's marina location, very high spec as well. So for us, it was a bit of a no-brainer, and our investors loved it as well. So remember, you're going to hear us talk about a lot of the hotspots that we focus on. And just like we're open to looking at other areas, if the opportunity seems really strong, you as an investor as well should be really open to different areas. Don't become too fixated. Derby and Manchester, phenomenal. Don't get me wrong, brilliant cities to invest in. Loads of potential. If we told you at the beginning of the show that Ipswich is a place to invest, you may have been surprised. But then when you go Ipswich, hour from London, the location that we talked about and everything else, then actually it becomes quite compelling. So where you invest and you're looking at areas, be open-minded because there may be a cracking deal somewhere that you've just not considered before.
Another location we've invested in over the last 6 months is Sheffield. Now, Sheffield is not a surprise at all. We must have had Sheffield on our hotspots list for as long as we've been doing it. And we've recently had it as kind of a one to watch. We thought it was going to get there. We thought it wasn't quite ready yet. We thought that other cities would have the growth first. But Sheffield actually really outperformed last year. But still, we managed to find an investment that got in at a low price point. And because there's a lack of decent rental stock in the immediate area, there should be a strong yield as well. But the most important feature of this deal was that they were houses. And houses can be hard to come by because of the way that we source stock, because of the types of locations that we're in, because of where the opportunities are. It's historically been difficult for us to get our hands on houses. But we've got absolutely nothing against houses. We personally have houses and flats. We recommend building a portfolio that contains both houses and flats. So being able to find houses in a location we loved at a good price point, of good quality, with a strong yield, that was one that we signed the paperwork on very quickly.
The next deal we did was tenanted, and it was actually 10 tenanted apartments. And again, there's another lesson you can draw from this, because when someone's trying to sell tenanted apartments, their market is actually limited. Because who can they sell to? Well, owner-occupiers don't want the hassle of buying a tenanted apartment. They may do it, but it's highly unlikely. It'll be just too overwhelming and a bit scary for them to take that prospect on and then have to move the tenant out before they could get in there. So when somebody or a developer is selling tenanted units, you know that you're in a limited field. And in this case, our field was even further limited because there were 10 tenanted apartments, and not everybody can get into doing a deal like that. You know, most people can afford to do one, maybe two. But 10 isn't that far away. You know, one or two to 10, you think, oh, you know, I'm never going to get there. But again, who can you work with? Who can you get together with as a mini consortium, if you like, of investors you may know, to approach owners of these type of deals to say, hey, we're here, we want to do a deal, and we can take all 10. So that's how you can approach a deal like this. And obviously, with it being tenanted, you know exactly where you stand from income on day one. It's proven tenant demand as well, because we always get a history of who's been letting the apartments and over what length of time and previous rental levels as well. We do all that research. Then we look at what's currently being generated revenue-wise and look at what the market says it should be, because sometimes you find that these type of developments are under-rented and they haven't had a rental review for a while, so there's a potential of uplift there. So while a lot of people are put off by tenanted apartments because there's more work and more research to be done, it can actually create an interesting opportunity. Now, this development was in an area of Manchester called Castlefield, and this development also had a really good spec and really good amenity as well. So something that we've talked about before, you know, looking for a development that stands out. Yes, the tenanted part was really appealing for us, but it doesn't mean we neglect everything else when we're looking at an investment. So why did we like this? Well, Manchester, box ticked, high spec, strong amenity, box ticked. And then the fact that it was tenanted and we were able to get a strong deal off the back of that. So like before, where I've talked about being open-minded with areas, be open-minded with the type of deals that you approach. And also, don't write yourself off. Yeah, 10 apartments might be a bit big for you as an individual, but what can you do to get access to those deals? How can you approach this creatively? Maybe you can agree a deal and then go and find investors to then take them bit by bit. All the harder work, yes, absolutely. But if you're prepared to put the work in, it means you might be able to get yourself a much better deal. I'll touch on another two deals quickly here. They are off plan and both in Manchester. So as we've covered Manchester already, I'm not going to go on about it too much. But The first one was in Old Trafford. And I think what's useful there is looking for the ripple effect. So Manchester City Centre's done fantastically well and is still doing fantastically well. But again, you've heard that we look for stuff that's special when we're looking at the City Centre, not just any old stock. But where a lot of investors won't venture is a little outside the city. But the ripple effect takes place. And you can find value in these areas. And we absolutely found value in this development in Old Trafford. Unfortunately, they've got a terrible football club there, but don't let that put you off. It didn't put us or our investors off either. But besides that one down point, the rest of the deal was really good. So the lesson from this one is be braver. Yes, if you really love an area, say it's Nottingham, Manchester, Birmingham, wherever, go, okay, City Centre's fantastic, but where can I go just beyond the City Centre, where it still has great fundamentals, but I can get more value and benefit from the potential ripple effect? And the final one in Manchester was very similar to the first one we talked about, which was from actually the same developer, part of that regeneration project that we referred to before. Again, wonderful spec. We have a great reputation with that developer now. This deal is more recent, but we hope it's going to be as successful as the deal we talked about at the beginning. And we went into that for all the reasons we just discussed before. So a development that stands out on its own, an area that stands out on its own, great potential of upside because of the regen project. Just common sense stuff, really. But sometimes people leave common sense at the door and just go bulldozing into a city and then go, oh, I'll just take anything, or I'll go for the cheap stuff, or I'll just get that house or apartment that's pretty average in an average area. Like, if you've identified a real growth opportunity, city or town, then put that next level of effort in when you get to that city or town and look for the stuff that's going to stand out. What's great now but would continue to be great in any market conditions? They're the type of properties and areas you want to hone in on.
Now, the final investment we're going to talk about is very different. These are not deals you do very often. You wouldn't have a portfolio full of these, but it's nice to have the crown jewel. And that's what we got with the penthouse at Deansgate Square in Manchester. I don't have to talk about how amazing it is because you can see it for yourself. We filmed a podcast there a month or two back. If you go to our YouTube channel, search Property Hub UK, you'll be able to find that and we'll give you a little tour as well. So it is absolutely stunning as a development and as an apartment in its own right. But what about as an investment? Well, what attracted us to the development were a couple of things. First of all, the amenities themselves are absolutely outstanding. So you can get buildings that, when they go up, are nice and shiny and new and they're popular, but they don't last because something else that's better comes along and that kind of loses its shine. Can't see how that's going to happen with Deansgate Square, at least for a very long time, because it's just absolutely unbelievable as a development, as a place to live. There's also some prestige associated with it being the tallest. It kind of sounds a bit silly, but there is. It's real. There's a reason why you've heard of the Shard, and even if you're not from London. If you're from Manchester, you would have heard of Beetham Tower, which was the previous tallest building. But the penthouse that we invested in is the tallest residential tower in the UK. And when you put all that together, the prestige with the incredible amenities and the spec of the apartment itself, that means that you've got an extremely high net worth tenant profile. It's certainly not the workhorse of your portfolio, but it adds something a bit different. And another reason that we were attracted to this is the yield is much higher than we would have expected for somewhere of that quality. As I said earlier, there's normally this trade-off between location and quality and whether it's high yielding, and you're having to kind of make a choice about where on that spectrum you want to fall. If you find somewhere that is this special and also yields well, that to me is a signal that, as well as that yield, it's got good capital growth upside. So that's why it wasn't just an emotional investment, although it was lovely to go there and to film there. Unfortunately, now tenanted, so we can't do it anymore. But it's also, we believe, a very strong financial investment as well.
So there we have it. A lot of deals, a lot of investments over the year so far, and lots more to be done. If you're interested in those investments and think they appeal to you, then you can either check out Property Hub Invest by going to propertyhub.net/invest, or you can check out the Portfolio app and do more research there. But that's the type of deals that we go after, and they're the type of areas that we target. And I think there's lessons that you can draw from all of those deals. You don't have to carbon copy what we've done, but if you apply the principles of how we invest, looking for something special, looking at areas that are doing really well right now, and also looking at areas that are below the radar that you feel everyone's just kind of missing out on right now, by applying at least some of these principles, I'm sure you'll be far more successful as an investor.
Before we wrap up the property podcast, we always like to squeeze in Hub Extra, a bit of the show where we give you a little bit more. Sometimes it's a book, sometimes it's a resource, sometimes it's a quote, but today it couldn't be anything other than the fact that we are crowdfunding. We talked about it back at the beginning of the show, but today is the day. So if you have pre-registered, then you will today get an email with your link to go and decide if you want to invest. You will get access. So if you haven't had that link already, you will today. Keep an eye on your inbox. If you didn't do that and you're now thinking, oh no, I should have pre-registered. Well, then it is too late, but go to propertyhub.net/crowdfund and there you can sign up to be notified. So we'll let you know when it goes public to everyone else. So you will hopefully have your chance next week when that happens. But if you have pre-registered, then keep an eye on that inbox because your invitation will be landing today.
So that's us done. And that's us done for April as well with the podcast. For a month it's been. So much going on right now. It's a bit bonkers, but all very exciting. And I'm sure you'll be excited to hear that next week, kicking off May, we have our very popular market update episode. So make sure you join us for that to get all the latest goings on in property and the wider economy. So a super useful episode for all property investors and aspiring property investors. We'll be back on Tuesday with Ask Rob and Rob, though, so you don't have to wait a full 7 days before you get a bit of Property Hub goodness in your life. And of course, you've got the old crowdfunding to check out as well, so plenty to keep you busy with. We'll be back soon. Take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.